If you will, turn your Bibles to John chapter 3. If you have your Bible, turn to John chapter 3. Very familiar passage. And I think because of its familiarity on the front end, we can have a tendency, at least I know I do, to forget about the back end of John chapter 3. And Brother John the Baptist has been on my mind here lately, and I've preached messages regarding John the Baptist before. And just a thought here that we find in John chapter 3, verse number 29, is the joy of John the Baptist. The joy of John the Baptist. In John chapter 3, verse number 29, John is speaking here, and he says to those of his own disciples that have come and put some things to him, which we'll take a look at here in a bit. But he says, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled." John uses words there, and it's written in our King James translation in a way that you and I are not used to speaking. When he says here, is written here, "This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled," John is saying, I think that we can bring it maybe to the way that you and I speak today, "I am rejoicing greater than I ever have before. This my joy, therefore, for is fulfilled." We think about fulfillment, it's filled up, right? It's complete. And so John is saying, what's going on right now? I stay away from using the word happy, because joy I see in the scripture is more than happiness. Happiness seems to be a temporal kind of thing, a thing that you and I experience in the world. It's not wrong to be happy. It's good to be happy. But joy speaks about that fulfillment and that filling up from the things of the Lord within. And the thing about joy is, when you and I are having a very difficult time, let's say physically for an example, we may not be too happy, but we can still rejoice in our Lord, having Him as Savior, having Him as our helper, having Him as the one that knows the beginning from the end. And so I think that's what I see in the scriptures regarding this. John says, "This is the best that there is on this earth. My joy is fulfilled." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day, and we thank you for each one that's come today. We thank you for the membership and their families that have come. We thank you for visitors that have come, and we pray that you'd help us together to worship you. As we take a look here at your man and what you did with him, how you brought him and used him, we pray, Father, that you would help us to see your work in John, your purpose in Brother John, and Lord, having done so, that we might see the importance of those things that surround you sending him. The greatest thing of it is what you were doing and did in that day. Help us to see why John is so rejoicing and his joy being fulfilled in the events of this chapter. Help now, we pray, and bless. Edify us as your children, Father. Edify us and build us up. And those that are here not saved, we pray that you'd speak to their hearts and save them, that they might have this joy too in our Lord Jesus Christ. Pray and ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. John the Baptist was a man that was sent by God. And, you know, as a pastor, as a preacher and a pastor, I give testimony that God called me to be a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was a personal thing. And Independence Baptist Church, where I was a member at that time, when I surrendered to that, that's the way that we say it, some of the vernacular that we use. And then Olmsted Baptist Church, these churches have testified to the fact that that is the truth. As your pastor, you called me as pastor some time ago, and the church here is responsible for continuing to understand and hold to my responsibility as being a pastor, and you validate that and you verify that. And this thing of the church, we're all tied together. None of us are independent. Our Lord is the head, and I need to be his man. I need to be a pastor that he wants me to be to you. And I need to care for you. And you need to be praying for me and looking out for me that I do just that and not come to a situation where I'm not qualified to be your pastor and all that. It's all the Lord's got all those things in here together in his calling. Well, John is a man sent by God. You can turn over here in this first chapter of the Gospel of John, and we see here in verse number 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, verse 7, to bear witness of the light, which is spoken about earlier, another name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was sent for a witness that all through him, not John, but the light might believe. That was the message that John preached. He goes on to say here, he was not that light, John was not, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That's John's job. And understand, there was a man sent from God whose name was John the Baptist, as we see in the scripture. He was not the light that was spoken about earlier in the chapter, but he was sent to bear witness, to testify of the light. Verse number 9, clarity about the light. That was the true light, if you will, that is the true light. He continues to shine. Jesus is the light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. If anyone is going to be illuminated in this world, man, woman, boy, or girl, the only way you're going to be illuminated is by the light that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one. I convey this or understand this way. In the world, we've had a lot of scientists, haven't we? If we make a list of scientists, there's many notable scientists. There's a lot of them. Over the millennia, if we take a list of kings, we'll have a list of kings. I mean, there's all kinds of kings, more than you and I even know. Presidents of the United States. We've got a list of presidents of the United States. But you know what? In the world, on the list that says saviors, there's only one that's listed there, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. On the list of light, there's only one. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one. He's the only one on those lists, if you will. And John was sent to bear witness of him. In Luke chapter 1, we see here about John and the Lord dealing and bringing this of John, bringing John to life and to birth. And in Luke chapter 1, his father is here doing what he is to be doing. He's a priest, okay, and John is of that priestly line, priestly tribe. We'll pick it up in verse number 8 and read. And it came to pass, Luke 1:8, that while he, Zechariah, executed the priest office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. So that's what Zechariah was doing. That was his part, is to burn the incense. Right time, right stuff, and right order. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. It's a special time, and people that were there waiting for that to be accomplished and were praying in the meantime. And there appeared unto him, unto Zechariah, an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And so he gets into the altar of incense, getting ready to do his stuff, and he sees this figure, this person. Well, this man, well, this angel, that's who it is, and standing right there. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled. I mean, you and I would be too. Plainly, he was afraid. That's the way it is when heaven comes down and manifests itself to mankind. and fear fell upon him. Verse 13. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. It tells early in the chapter they didn't have any children. And they had wanted children, just like any couple. And it says there that his wife was, and he both were well stricken in years. So it was past the time of childbearing. But the Lord sent his angel to testify unto Zechariah, you're going to have a son. Your prayer for a child, a son, has been answered, even at this late date. And you're going to call his name John. And this is what he says here. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, verse 14. And many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, or Elijah. Here's the purpose, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Now, this is somewhat connected to what Brother Doug talked about in the Sunday school lesson. In the day of the culture of Israel and in these lands, the women and the children were viewed in general more like property than they were family. And there were those that loved their families indeed, but the culture is way different than what you and I think about, and I think the way that the Lord has ordained it to be. John is going to be one that's going to be preaching and carrying this message to turn the children of Israel to the Lord their God, to turn the hearts, as has been prophesied, of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. There's going to be a spiritual enlightenment and work that's going to be bathed in the love of the Lord and the rescue of sinners. That's what John is coming to preach, is being sent to preach. And the power of the spirit of Elijah, a man indeed that would stand out. We read over here in Isaiah chapter 1. If you don't want to turn, that's fine. I'll read it to you here. This is the prophecy so many hundreds of years before that had been declared regarding this in Isaiah 40, verse number 1. Isaiah 40, verse number 1. Where the scripture says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished and her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The chastisement of the Lord for his nation. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway to our God, for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. It was prophesied a long time ago that there would be one that would be sent, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And if you study about John, you see that that is where he learned those things that God taught him, is in the wilderness. He was a different man, stood out. A passage in Malachi related to what we read there in Luke. In Malachi 4, right here at the end of the Old Testament, as it's ordered in our Bibles today. And listen to what it says in Malachi 4, verse number 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. A great and dreadful day is speaking about the judgment of God upon the earth and upon sinners and upon governments and nations. But before that, he's going to send Elijah. Send Elijah with a message, forerunning before the one, the Savior indeed. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. All that there in that verse 6 is that blessing and an exhibition of the love of God in sending his son to be a savior. That it is that our loved ones need more than just ritual religion, following after, as the Judaizers did, following after the law of God, what Brother Doug brought out in his Sunday school lesson, more than an outward observance of a moral law, but a Savior, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this Brother John, he was sent from God, and he had a mission and a purpose, not to run before many, not to declare a message about a few, but to declare the message and the glad tidings about one, the Son of God, come down and become a man, to be a Savior for his people. In Luke 1, verse number 15, where I read, look here regarding John. You see this? In verse number 15, it tells about his greatness in the sight of the Lord, the Lord's use of him and calling of him, and what the Lord has appointed for him. It tells there that he would not necessarily be a Nazarite, okay, but he would have those features or some things would be adapted. He won't drink wine or strong drink, but rather he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, even from his mother's womb. This man was saved by God Almighty before he was born. God doesn't do that. Well, when God wants to, he does. Nothing's too hard for him. Our brother had fellowship with the Lord, and however it is that there could be that, even while his mama was carrying him. He's a special man because God has made him a special man. How many single ones are there in the scripture that you and I can go to and point out? John, in regards to this, is one man that the Lord has done such a thing with. Brother Moses is one man that God Almighty has used in that way. One that stands out in the Scripture. And there are others, indeed. But I tell you what, one man of all the billions that have lived upon this earth, God called to this work and this purpose. He was saved before he was even born. In John chapter 1, Brother John, as he began his ministry, and then the Lord Jesus comes to the time of the beginning of his ministry, we see the testimony of Brother John here in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse number 29. Listen to the Lord's working. Listen to the Lord's filling of this man. He's filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And listen what he says. Listen why he is so filled with joy, as we read earlier in this chapter. In John chapter 1, verse number 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. On the list, if you will, if you'll suffer me another list, sacrifices for sin of men. On that list, there's only one, and that's the Lamb of God. There's none other. All the heathen and their human sacrifice that has been done over time and antiquity didn't do a thing to appease any god or take care of any sin. All the animals that Israel has sacrificed over hundreds of years back in the Old Testament, and even as they look to do so in the future, and it'll be in its right place, when the Lord Jesus comes back, we've got some things regarding sacrifices that will be offered. But not a one of that, not the gallons and gallons of blood has ever touched the sin of one sinner. But I tell you what, on the list of the sacrifices for sin, there is the Lamb of God. And John says he takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me. It would have been better for him to come first, John says in his humility, for he was before me. He lives before me. And I knew him not. I think John speaking as when he came as a man, I didn't know what he looked like. And even though they're cousins, I think that's what's being said here by John. I did not know what he looked like. That he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. Let's read it again. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest. I knew that he would be revealed in my time. And therefore, because of that, I'm coming baptizing with water. You know what? John baptizing with water, baptizing with water, baptizing with water was a testimony of sinners. Or the Lord Jesus dying, being buried, and raising again. He was telling about his gospel. And all that baptizing of those that came forth repenting of their sins, trusting in the Redeemer that he proclaimed. Therefore, for that reason, I'm come baptizing with water. He goes on to say here in verse 32, and John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. When Jesus came to John to be baptized of John, John said, it'd be better for you to baptize me. And Jesus says, no, if we're going to fulfill all righteousness, John, you baptize me. There's a reason for all that. And John said, I saw him. When I baptized him, indeed the Spirit of God descended as a dove and lit on him and stayed there. And I knew him not. I didn't know that it was him. But he that sent me to baptize with water, who's that? That's God the Father. Told him something. He that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, John, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost, the Savior. And understand, this baptizing with the Holy Ghost is not a Pentecostal free-for-all thrash around kind of event. It's talking about salvation. Salvation of the soul by the indwelling of the Spirit of God. As the Lord Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, ye must be born again. And that's the way sinners are born again, is by the indwelling of the Spirit of God. He goes on to say here in verse number 34. And I saw him, I saw the dove descend and light on him and stay there, just like the Father had told me, and bear record that this is the Son of God. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. This is God's Son, and he is now in our midst. It goes on here in the same passage in verse 35. Again, the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples are there with him. They're in the place where they are. And looking upon Jesus as he walked. Now, picture that. Here's John. There's a couple of John's disciples standing here with him. They're followers of John and receivers of his message and desiring to be taught by him and everything. They've got up in that morning, and then here comes Jesus. John can't contain himself. John cannot hold back from speaking. Look how it's written there. The next day after John stood and two of his disciples and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. Fellows, look at him. That's him. The Lamb of God. The promise of the Lord, the reason that John has been sent. He is at hand. You know what happened with those two disciples? They started following the Lamb of God because John had been preaching that he is the one to follow. Well, while he had not been manifested, they followed John, waiting. But when John pointed him out, they quit following John, and they followed after Jesus. And you know what? That's what John declared. Can we take ourselves and put ourselves in this? Hearing this man, hearing the calling of this man, hearing about this man that the Lord saved from before he was born and called him into this work, and the things that he says about the Lord Jesus Christ, can we put ourselves there and how we reckon with that? Do we disassociate ourselves from the words of this man and the teaching of this man, the calling of this man, the message of this man sent by God? Where do you and I fit here in this? You know what? Brother John speaks on this day, these days, behold the Lamb of God. He speaks very much in the tenor of Brother Abraham, doesn't he? Isn't that something in Genesis 22, as the Lord had commanded Abraham to go to Moriah to sacrifice his son Isaac, and Isaac sees the wood and Isaac sees the fire, but he doesn't see any sacrifice. He inquires with his father Abraham about such, and you know what Abraham says? Abraham said, my son, in Genesis 22:8, God will provide himself a lamb. At that time, for a burnt offering, it was a ram. It was very prophetic about the ultimate sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 11, verse 11, we see here the commendation of John by the Lord Jesus. John is in prison. It's come near to the end of his ministry. He sends a couple of his disciples over and inquire with Jesus. Things seem to be not going the way John thought it would, and he maybe begins to have doubt. He sends these disciples to ask the Lord Jesus, who said, are you the Christ? Or do we look for another? Jesus heals, he preaches, he does all kinds of things. He tells those two disciples, go back and tell John what you've seen. Go tell him. Folks are healed. The poor have the gospel preached unto them. And know that I am the one, is what he implies in that. And the Lord speaks to the people after those two disciples go back to John the Baptist to give that message from the Lord Jesus. Matthew 11:11, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Men among women. Greatest man. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Doesn't the economy of our Lord blow your mind? He's rich in every way, and so merciful and gracious and loving towards us. In Luke chapter 7, verse number 28, for I say unto you, same account, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. No greater man, no greater prophet. So we come to John chapter 3 in light of this just summary about Brother John. And we read it here in verse number 22 of this chapter, looking to see about the joy of John the Baptist. After these things, John 3:22, Jesus and his disciples in the land of Judea, so that's down south in the region of Jerusalem, and there he tarried with them and baptized. He was with his disciples. They stayed in this place. And here we see the disciples, the church of the Lord Jesus, baptizing. And John also was baptizing in Enon, near to Salem, and we think that to be over along the Jordan River, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. So Jesus and his disciples were baptizing. It tells us in chapter 4 that Jesus never baptized anybody, but they're doing so, his disciples are doing so under his authority, having got that authority from John in baptism, a subject for another time. And so we have this time that's right there nearing the end of John's ministry, before he went to prison, at the beginning of the Lord Jesus' ministry, and both of them are baptizing. Both of them are baptizing. For John was not yet cast into prison, verse 24. Verse 25, then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, Master, Teacher, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, as is earlier in the book, when John pointed him out and said, Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He said, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, when John baptized him, to whom thou bearest witness, you said that he's the Lamb of God. Behold, the same baptizeth, and all come to him. There were some of John's disciples that didn't follow after Jesus at that time, and they're jealous for John. They love John. They've been blessed of the Lord through John, that instrumentality of the Lord, his calling, his message in that. And said, that fella, that one that you said over there and testified about and all that, everybody's going over there to him. They're not coming over here to you like they used to. All come to him. John 20, verse number 27, John answered and said, I want you to listen to this. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. And I tell you what, you and I need a lot. Every single one of us in the house, we need something. And we need something spiritual. We need something eternal. We all need help. Now, some of us have been given salvation from heaven. Some of us have been given this understanding about the Lord's church and what this ministry and this work is. Some of us have been given that understanding about baptism, how that is to publicly identify with Christ and by that come into his church. There's some here yet that don't have any of those things. And you need it. And understand, it only comes from heaven. It is heaven. It is this one in heaven presently that you need and that you need to deal with and do business with. I tell you what, ignoring it will not fix it. Letting it pass will not change anything about your life. Because the word has come out, this man of God has preached what he has preached. He has declared God has worked in him and used a man's life in this way to tell about the one that is the Savior. His disciples are saying, everybody's going over there to him. And you know what? John doesn't have a frown on his face. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. I tell you what, you and I, we need the blessing and the help of heaven indeed upon us. In Luke chapter 11, verse number 13, the Lord Jesus is indeed dealing with his disciples here. And he's speaking about gifts and giving gifts unto our children. And that we don't want to give bad gifts to our children, but good gifts. And he says, if you operate that way, Luke 11, 13, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Children of God, and that's the context here. You want to be filled more with the Spirit of God? I tell you what, be asking for it. Seriously, not haphazardly, but seriously. Availing ourselves to the Spirit of God, to the working of God, the Lord would cause more things to be understood by us and that we'd be helped. We, as the children of God, need things from heaven. Without the working of our Lord, we will not be helped, but only with the Lord we can be helped in this calling, in this salvation, in this walk with our Lord. But then, as Brother Doug is touching on in his Sunday school class in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 7, where there are disciples and the multitude at hand, the Lord says here in Matthew 7:11, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Do you have a need? I tell you what, it's only the one in heaven that can help you. And John declared it. Have you received something from heaven, from the Lord? I tell you what, praise His holy name for it. Don't let it make you and I proudful. But I tell you what, may we be thankful. Where did John receive his calling? Did he petition for it, apply for it, sign up for it? No, it was given to him from heaven. And he was sent to preach to sinners, just like you and me, and preaching repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and the salvation of souls. What do we see here going on in verse number 28? Ye yourselves bear me witness, fellas, that I said, I'm not the Christ, but that I'm sent before Him. I've been telling you all along. John preached what the Scripture said about himself. I'm the forerunner. I'm sent ahead of Him. I'm sent, if you will, just ahead of Him. Just right before Him. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. John got to the point, He's coming. He's at hand. He's near. And then when the Lord Jesus manifested Himself and came on the scene and all that at His baptism was Jesus came to be baptized and the Spirit of God descended on Him like a dove and the Father spoke from heaven, this is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Now He's here and He says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That's John. John was doing what he was called to do, what he'd been given. He said, I've told you I'm not the Christ, but I'm sent before Him, and I've declared Him unto you. He says, listen, fellas, verse 29, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. We amongst us Baptists, we have a reckoning about when the Lord actually started His church. I think we maybe account some things too far about that, leaving the simplicity of what the church is. John says, right now, the bridegroom has got the bride. And both of them are baptizing. Hear that. Hear that. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, he says, that's me. See, John wasn't a member of the Lord's church. That's what he was given. He was given to be this forerunner of Christ, but he was not given to be in the church. He says, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, it's like the John, Brother John, is the Lord Jesus' best man, in a sense. He standeth and heareth the bridegroom, the groom speak, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. I have no greater joy than the bridegroom, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I have no greater joy than Him being right here on the scene. John, they're following Him and not coming over here to you. John says, that's the way it's to be, and I'm thrilled that that is the case. What do you think those fellows thought? John, he goes on in verse number 30 to make it even more clear unto them and to us. He must increase, but I must decrease. That is the conclusion of every child of God. The Lord must increase. He must be glorified. He must increase in my life. I must decrease in my life. He must increase in the world. He must increase in our church and we and that of the flesh and of the way of the world in us and all that. That must decrease. John says, my ministry must go down. His ministry must go on and up. Because He is what it's all about. He is what it's all about. He that cometh from above, verse number 31, he that cometh from above is above all. He's above number one, fellas. And he that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He said, that's you and me. He that cometh from heaven is above all. He's number one. He's preeminent. He's above number one. Follow him. Verse 32. He that has seen and heard, and what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. Speaking of Jesus, he says, you listen to what he has to say. He's testifying of the truth. He is heavenly indeed. And what he has seen, the Lamb of God, the only begotten of the Father, what he has seen and heard, that he testifieth. And if he speaks it, you and I need to listen to it. He says, the way it is naturally, and no man receiveth his testimony. Because the Lord Jesus is rejected. It says in this same book over in chapter 1 that the Lord Jesus came into his own and his own received him not. But he said, but it says there, but as many as received him. He's not received, but he is received by some. Listen to what it says here in verse 33. And he that hath received his testimony says, no man receiveth his testimony. But he that receiveth his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. There are those that do receive his testimony, that are given by heaven to receive such, that whose eyes and ears and hearts are open that that is the truth. That's what we pray that the Lord will do in our midst. If you're here and you're not saved, that the Lord will do that for you, that you would see that you need this one that John preached about, that we preach about yet today. And those that receive his testimony, what Jesus says about our sin and about he being the Savior, what the Father has ordained, the sending of Jesus, coming as a man, giving his life on the cross of Calvary, being buried and risen again from the dead for the salvation of his people, we say, it's true. It's true. That seal, we say, this is true. Has set to his seal. We affirm it because we know it from within. Verse 34, for he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. See that testimony that Jesus is speaking that is not received, but that is received by some. He said he speaketh, he sent him and speak the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. John says, there is no withholding of the Spirit in this man, Jesus of Nazareth. He's got all the Spirit of God. You and I, we have the Spirit of God meted out to us by the Lord. In the practical sense, in the living of life, the Spirit of God is given and indwells in the believer. But I tell you what, we need to avail ourselves of the Spirit of God more and more and more and more and continually through life, being in this situation of an old man and a new man bound together. But Jesus, being divine, being God himself, yet being a man, as a man, the Father has poured out all the Spirit of God upon him because he is God and he is divine and he is without sin. That some of that stuff makes us scratch our heads. I understand that. What's ours to do is just receive it. Know that it's so. John says, this man walking in our midst is full of all the Spirit of God. God has not given the Spirit by measure unto him. He's got it all. God, he has him all, the Spirit. You need to listen to him. You need to hang on every word Jesus says, every word, this is the working of God. So in conclusion, listen to what we see in verse number 35 and 36. The joy of John the Baptist, he says, I am thrilled, I have no greater joy than for him to be on the scene. To hear his voice, to hear the testimony that he speaks, to hear the word that he speaks, to hear that of the Spirit within him speaking unto us and teaching unto us. John says, it's time for me to sit down. It's time for him to get up and teach. He must increase and I must decrease. Fellas, you need to go follow him. Verse 35. The Father loveth the Son, John says, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son, these things that John has testified to, hath, right now, present tense, everlasting life. You believe it? You receive it? Do you know that it's so, that he did these things for you? This man of God and his testimony about the Lamb of God, the only begotten of the Father, the only begotten Son, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, not even see it at a distance. See is a long way from possession, isn't it? Got the Son? Have the Son? Believe the Son? We have everlasting life. Believe not the Son? You won't see life. But rather, the wrath of God abideth on him now. The joy of John the Baptist. Do you have that joy? I tell you what, we who are saved, we have that joy. We have that joy. We believe and the Lord has saved us. We believe and trust in him and what he's done for us that we could not do for ourselves. We rejoice in his plan and his purpose and his design and what he's given us here in the church, what he's called us into, just to take and go and tell that again unto others. We believe the testimony of John the Baptist. You know, in the religious world, there's many that write off John the Baptist. They don't know how to deal with John the Baptist. They don't receive the message of John the Baptist. They just kind of take John the Baptist, kind of push him over here in a corner. Our Lord Jesus himself said that there's no greater man and no greater prophet than John the Baptist, sent by God. I think you and I need to listen to Brother John the Baptist. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to our Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation of sinners is by the Lord and indeed from heaven in the Lord's way. Repentance of sins and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done on Calvary. Not from a historical standpoint, but that you're the sinner that needs saving and to receive and believe that he did so for you. For you.